Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, April 3rd, 2024. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and we will place the meeting audio on our website, which is WMATA.com, WMATA.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips for everyone who is joining through phone calls. You can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. If you'd like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star nine. Everybody who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you'd like to make comments, please try to raise your virtual hands by clicking on the raise hand icon. If people are able to use these tools, it will be helpful because then we know that somebody's trying to make comments and we can have one speaker at a time. I would request everyone to please stay on mute unless speaking because it helps us eliminate any external noise. We do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. And for that reason, I would request everyone to please state your name before you start making your comments, because it helps the interpreters in doing their job. And when people listen to the meeting through phone calls, it's also helpful for them. And anybody who listens to the meeting audio afterwards, it's helpful for those people as well. We also request everyone to please describe yourselves briefly when you speak initially. For instance, I'm a female Asian Indian. I wear reading glasses and I have long dark hair. And we do have two guest sets of guest speakers today with one presentation. I would request for the presenters to please describe your presentation in detail for the convenience of our AAC members and members of the public who are blind or have low vision. Chair Calabia, if you concur, I can go ahead and read the meeting agenda first and go through the meeting roll call.
Yes, please.
All right, great. Actually, what I'll do is when I go through the agenda, I would share my screen. So if you would bear with me for a quick moment. And if somebody could confirm that they can see my screen. Okay, thank you.
Visible.
So at 4:05, Chair Calabia will go through the motion of reviewing and approval of today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. At 4:10, we have Lynn Bowersox. The committee had an opportunity to have a site visit for Metro's Fleet of the Future, so there would be a brief discussion about that. At 4:45, we have Melissa Kim to discuss better bus network redesign, engagement plan, types of materials being developed. At 5:45, we will take any public comments and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I would start sharing my screen.
Thank you.
Surely, you're most welcome. I'm going to go through the roll call of the committee members. When I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azhar Atura, Darnis Bush, Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles. I believe Vanessa is connected on the meeting. Rico Dancy.
Present. I'm sorry. Present. I'm on my phone today.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I saw notice. Thank you, Vanessa. Rico Dancy. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher.
She's there.
I'm sorry, she is? Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Marcy Goldstein.
Present.
Thank you. Timothy Howard. Steve Caffin.
Steve Kapal, present. Hi.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum?
Present.
Thank you. Philippa Mazzell?
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsom?
Present, and I just saw the third total eclipse of my life. It was awesome.
Oh. Thank you for sharing that, Sandy. Phil Postel? Doris Ray? Denise Rush?
Present.
Thank you. Paul Samuelford? Patrick Sheehan?
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simonow?
I'm here.
Okay. Thank you. And Philip Weintraub? Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. Chair Kalabi, at this time, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Yes, a motion to approve the agenda. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
Oh, yes, I so move, Tino.
Second, Tarantino.
Any objections? Not hearing any objections. The agenda is approved. The next item, Anu?
Last month's meeting minutes.
Okay, last month we dealt with the 8000 series model, which was to be shown then on the mall, and we've now seen it. We also dealt with the Arlington floating bus stop, and we lastly dealt with the Metro bus stroller area presentation. any objections to the minutes as Anu wrote them? I see that Steve is shaking his head. No objection?
No objections whatsoever. They're excellent.
Okay. Any second to that?
Second. This is Patrick.
No objections heard. The minutes are approved. It is now only 9:07. Lynn, welcome back. Lynn, are you there? I saw
yes,
you.
I am, sir. Thank you so much, Chair Kalabia, and to the whole group. It was so nice to visit with so many of you at the Fleet of the Future exhibit. And I'll just take a moment, if you would, Chairman, and summarize how that went and then open sure. to you all for comments. So we hosted the Fleet of the Future Expo on the National Mall during the Cherry Blossom Festival, and we were lucky in that we opened just as the blossoms peaked. And so I think despite some mixed weather, we had a really good turnout of folks. We closed on April 3rd last week and loaded out without incident. So the logistics needed for that event were quite complex, as you all can imagine. And the team at Metro and Hitachi Rail did a fabulous job putting that display together for us. We, in the end, had a total of 46,500 participants come through the mock-up of the 8000 series rail car and the electric bus that were on display. And those participants came from all corners of the globe and all walks of life, really. We had students, engineering classes, Smithsonian visitors, people from different countries who were there for the Blossom Festival, people from all over the country who were here visiting. We had customers from BART and from the MBTA with whom I spoke, who said this was so much better than anything that they have seen or experienced in their systems. People from MARTA in Atlanta, just all over the country who know similar systems and were really impressed with what we had to share. We had a lot of input from our regular customers, from customers who ride with Metro today, who are commuters or taking it to Nats games and so on, who were really excited to see some of the upgrades from the fleet that they experienced today. We collected, as you all know, a lot of input in the tablets that we had displayed so that we could calculate all of those inputs and summarize them in the final report is being assembled and will be presented to the general manager in the next couple of weeks, so that we can really give, you know, the most authentic feedback that we've collected to date as people experience the mock-up and not just the renderings that we've had for them to look at. At this point in the design phase, you know, any small last minute tweaks can be made. As some of you know who visited, one of the big inputs that we were looking for was whether to have the taller back seats or the shorter back seats. And so in the area where we were sitting when we visited during the display and when Stan talked through the tour, you could, maybe some of you had an opportunity to sit in those seats to determine whether or not you thought there was an important distinction between them, because that's one of the things our engineering team is looking for feedback on. As I explained to those of you who were able to come to the tour, the next phase in design will really be developing content for the digital screens, developing signage displays and that kind of thing. And I know members of this committee in particular are very anxious to talk with Sarah Meyer and the engineering team and the IT team, which is sort of a subgroup of stakeholders who are working on this project, to give input and feedback into the size of fonts, the coloration of the displays, the ability to contrast colors and lights, which is so important for people with low vision. Also the audio component with the announcements, which is so important for people who depend on audio, who may or may not be able to at all times see the displays, to understand how the intercar barrier is going to work on this equipment, which is still a pending item. And I can go on and on, but obviously there's still a lot of input, a lot of opportunity for the committee and the AAC as a whole to continue to guide us on these designs as we go forward. The last thing I will say before I turn it back over to the chair is I shared with those of you who were able to attend the expo that this will be my last meeting. I'm retiring from WMATA on May 1st. And so this portion of my work has been exceptionally rewarding for me, because I've had the opportunity to work with all of you and learn so much from you who volunteer your time. And I frankly have been very moved, not only by your expertise, but by your commitment to making the service that we offer better and more inclusive of everyone. I haven't had this close of a working relationship with the committee historically, and it's been really one of the highlights of my 14 years at Metro. So thank you all for what you've taught me and what you've helped me achieve on behalf of all of our customers, and for all that you will continue to do in my absence to make sure that my colleagues continue to get the best possible information from you to provide the excellent customer service that Metro strives for every day. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I turn it back over to you, and we can proceed however you like with feedback on the expo, if you want to take that first.
Sure. Well, first of all, good luck on your newest stage of your career, whatever that may be. Sorry to see you leave, but you have been with us during an auspicious period of the committee. We had recommended open gangways trains back in 2018, and we're glad that finally the idea was accepted by the new administration and chiefly Randy Clark, and for your input in the meanwhile. Now, before I say anything, are there any comments from the other members of the AAC?
Chair Calabia, this is Anil. I would say that the members who participated in the site visit, if you would, raise your hands, and then we can get some feedback. And congratulations, Lynn. If anyone would like to add further comments, please do. And I see Vanessa has raised her hand. So Vanessa, go ahead.
I just wanted to say thank you for your services. I was not able to get out to, I worked during the week to see it, but I am looking forward to the new things that are provided for Armada's riders. Thank you for your services.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa. Next is Philippa, and then Patrick, and then Thomas and Steve. Philippa, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Hi. Yes, I'll comment on the vehicle, which I just thought was astounding. I felt like I was in Star Trek, you know, the 21st century version. It's beautiful. It was nice to see that a lot of our recommendations were taken, and I'm sure more will be taken, especially concerning the font on those station ahead signs and the contrast issues. I just want to say, Lynn, why are you doing this to us? This is your crowning achievement, and now you're going to run away from us. Oh. But at any rate, I wish you the best. I'm still kind of stunned, so I will just leave it there. But basically, I thought the vehicle was just amazing. The space. Only thing I might be an issue for some people was when you come in the door, if you're tall, you're really going to have to duck your head. Other than that, I didn't really see any flaws that I can think of offhand. Thank you. And thank you for your service.
Thank you, Philippa. I appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Philippa. Patrick, go ahead.
Lynn, talk about good news and bad news. I'm just like everybody else, I think, here, just devastated. I mean, you have done such a great job. I have worked with you when you were in communications and outreach even before you came to this. So I knew the work that you've done for WMATA. And I guess if we're sad here, I can imagine how they're feeling, because your shoes are going to be hard to fill. I really appreciate the fact that you took the time to listen to us and was straightforward with respect to what you thought was possible and doable. I think that a lot of the decisions that you're making are being validated by the people who are coming through and saying what a wonderful job the trains are. The accessibility, I thought, you know, when we had the 7,000 series, I thought we did pretty good with getting the accessibility requirements in, and most of them were accepted. But we far surpassed that with you, because you were able to sit and articulate and put the things in before they're being built, so they're not just bolted on, particularly in the area of signage and the area of contrast, of course, which Sarah is working on. I think that's great. Even to the small little details of audio and how we're going to see the audio, whether we're going to have it coming out of the speakers or I remember noticing on, you know, one of the seats that I was looking at to my left, we could have had the audio turned on that particular side panel. And I think you were smart enough to say, perhaps we'll just make that a visual signage and not have audio. You know, so and also the seating, I thought, was extremely well done. Particularly, I was very happy to see that the seating in the cars was a little bit more. We were able to see some more padding out at the bus area and a few of those areas. And so you've got a wonderful team that you've worked with. I know that they respect you and your leadership, and they will continue on. But it's going to be a big blow for WMATA and us having you move on to another stage in your life. But congratulations. I think it's always nice to go out on top, and you certainly are doing this with the 8K series. So thank you.
Thank you, Chair Shannon. It's really been an honor, and I've learned a great deal from you and your leadership over the many years with this committee. And I appreciate you. I hope that in my retirement, I can become an active volunteer in the causes that I care about and bring half as much to the table as you've brought. Thank you very much.
Who's next?
And next is Thomas Mangrum and then Steve Kaffin.
Yes, I think all of us are going to miss you and like your patience that you have with people and that came around and whatnot, because dealing with the public, it could be quite hard at times, but you was nice to everyone that I've seen. And like for the buses, because I checked out the buses also, And like the thing is though, when you pull up the seat for the chairs to come in, you got the hookups for people to charge their phones and stuff. My thing is, do you have the charges for other seats for people, whatnot? Because otherwise, people might just pull up the seat and there's no wheelchair on there just to charge up their phone, what have you. So, but like, other than that, everything was nice, whatnot. New buses and stuff. The new buses were by electricity. And I asked the driver that was there about the bus, did the bus run out of power faster, what have you, than it normally would? He says for the route that we go, what have you, Metro makes sure that we're not going no farther than the power for us or whatnot. So everything was working out okay. I asked the question and they was like really helpful to me. I asked a lot of questions and stuff. So, but that's what I do as an advocate. I go forward. So it was really nice and whatnot. So thank you for your service, and you will be missed by all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas, and thank you for caring and for spending as much time on the bus as you did on the rail car. That's so important, and we're working hard internally to make sure that the design concerns that we have from this committee are also reflected on bus, so you keep at it, okay?
Thank you.
Yes. Who is next, Danu?
It's Steve Kaffin.
Great. Thank you. I guess I described Steve Kaffin, white, Caucasian, black hair with a little gray, wearing a blue shirt. Lynn, you've really been amazing through this entire process. And I say that because, you know, through there were iterations of it, and there were changes, and you kept us so informed that when we actually saw the mock-up, we knew so much about it before we actually walked into it. And that's a testament to to great management and oversight. And I know other people have said that already, and I very much appreciated it. And you're because you're such a great listener, we were able to communicate our compliments and our questions and concerns and what have you. So thank you. I've said everything that I need to say. But the maps, I hope, and we talked about this, that the long map that is really just a next station map. You know what I mean? It's just a lengthwise line, in effect, next bus, next station. That's different than the actual map, which shows connections and is particularly in a city where we have a lot of transients and a lot of visitors, is critical. I know after 20 some years of living in this city, I'm still looking to see whether I want to transfer at Metro Center or Chinatown. And so I know we talked about that, and you're going to make sure that that happens.
We did, Steve. But I just want to say, please continue to be an advocate for clear information for people who are not regular riders, whether they're new to town, their first ride, they don't ride frequently, or they're just visiting. That's so important, and that's a voice that needs to be heard very clearly in Metro. Mm-hmm. And so I hope you'll just continue as an advocate to talk about not assuming that people know how to navigate the system.
You know, this is not your area, but if, but with respect to maps, if you could pass this on, the maps on the stations, on the digital displays, rotate. None of them is stationary. They rotate. And if you happen to hit it at the right time, you get the map. But otherwise, you don't see it. That's interesting. You know, we were looking at maps, and that's one of the reasons why it was kind of now you see it, now you don't. Could you pass that on? Because you either catch it or you don't see a map.
I will. And for those who can't tell, I'm nodding very definitively, and I will pass that on. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Look, thanks very much, Lynn. It's been a pleasure.
For me as well. Thank you.
Hey, let me just verify if there is any. Okay, Pat and Chair Calabia. So Pat, go ahead. Patrick, please unmute yourself. Okay. I'm not sure if he intended to raise his hand, but Chair Calabia, please go ahead.
Sure. Lynn, once again, as I said previously when you were here, one thing that I miss is the kind of filtration system. And as I said before, and have said many years ago, several years ago, the best kind of filtration system involves ultraviolet C filtration systems. With respect to how safe they are, I a few days ago sent out testimony that I gave before the WMATA board, and in it I had 12 sources that I cited with excerpts from some of those sources. And the sources included the National Institute of Health's National Library of Medicine. Another one was from the American Society of Heating, Refrigerating, and Air Conditioning Engineers. And there are 8 or 9 other sources besides. The kind of filtration we have now is built in such a way that they could easily incorporate UVC filters. And the UVC filters are not any more expensive and maybe even cheaper and don't require much more maintenance than the filters that we've been having. So since there's going to be room for filters, even though these filters are going to exchange air every 3 minutes, in those 3 minutes, they don't do anything about killing the virus or the germs. And so I urge again to put in the space where the filters will be ultraviolet C germicidal fillers. So let's see. I guess that's
Chair Calabi, if I can, I know that Stan took a note about that. I will ask Anu and Carol to remind the project team, and I know Nahom is on, and I'll introduce him and Sarah in a minute, but to make sure that the project team gives you a response on that when they come back. I know that they will be coming back on the intercar barrier, which applies to other fleet technology as well, but to give you an answer on the filtration and the other sanitation technology that you discussed with Stan and me on board.
Thank you. And what I would stress is that they for sure review the kind of sources that I've been, as a non-engineer, non-health person, citing. Being non-engineer and non-health trained, it was important for me. And I shared those sites with the WMATA board a couple of years ago. Thank you. Are there any other questions of or statements for Lynn?
If not, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to introduce my colleagues.
Oh, sure.
Great. So, Sarah Meyer, if you're on, can you come on screen?
Hi, guys. Can you
That's
see?
Great. So for those who haven't met her, Sarah Myers, my colleague, she is white, she has red hair, and she is significantly younger than I am. And that matters because she cannot even see retirement from where she sits. And so she will be with you for a very long time.
Great.
Probably 9, 10,000 series, you know, well down the road. So Sarah is the executive vice president for customer service, communication, marketing, all the things that roll up into customer experience. That's really her umbrella area. And some of you met Sarah when we went up to the MTA to look at their new equipment, because Sarah came from the MTA in New York, where she also did customer experience work. So she's been at now the largest in the country, and now she's with us. She's extremely experienced. And for those of you who haven't seen her work or know that this connection exists yet, all of the new wayfinding signage in our stations that you all have been saying nice things about is a result of Sarah's leadership since she arrived last year. So she will be with you through the signage, through the content development for the digital sign. She'll be leading that stakeholder group. And so I know she's going to be anxious to hear your feedback on those things. And then I think Nahum Debesay is on too, and we'll just ask him to come on screen for a second. But he works very closely with Stan, and some of you met him at the expo over the last couple of weeks. And Nahum continues on with the 8K project team. He works for Shushil Ramnaras in the car engineering group. So I don't see him coming on, but I do see him listed on the, so maybe his technology is failing, but I'll just go back to Sarah. Sarah, please, you know, let the group know what you see as the next steps and in future meetings.
Well, welcome, Sarah. It's good to see you. Welcome.
Good to see you. Good to see you. And, you know, so thrilled to see so many of you contributing your time to such a worthy cause. And just a quick note to say that following Lynn is never easy, and we will miss her terribly, and thank her for her enormous contributions to our customers, and to also ensuring that as many customers are affected positively by our work. So thank you, Lynn. I'm still not 100% believing that this is happening, but one day I will face reality. I do see Nahum, who has popped up with a couple of colleagues from a conference room. So I did hear some of your feedback, team, and completely understand issues around the map situation in our stations. I share those same concerns that you have. And through the signage pilot we're doing at L'Enfant, we have certainly installed a large number of print maps. You'll see them on the sides of our escalators and our elevators. There's also a new print signage version of the map that's in all of the fare arrays as well. So we're getting there, and we'll continue to work through this. Nahum and I are and his team and Stan are going to work on the screens together, and working through some of the designs for some new prototypes that will show up, you know, next, that will display next station. As well as a holistic picture of the map as well. So excited to get started and work with you all and make sure that what we're doing is able to be easily understood and interpreted by all of our audiences.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we hear from any other members?
Yeah,
of-
could I just ask a question? I'm trying to find my hand raised, but all I'm getting is a wave. Sarah or Lynn, is there an equivalent who's looking at the buses? For example, the bus that we saw you know, at the mock-up, who may be speaking to us in the future.
Yes, it's also me. I've got a couple slides in a wayfinding deck that I'll be presenting next in the May meeting that shows the progress that we've made on the bus side. We've been focusing on this signage that's on the bus stops and bus poles outside of bus stops while we work through some procurement issues on the bus side to make our screens work better on the insides of our buses.
Right. You know, I just very quickly, we're not talking about buses right now, we're talking about rail, but should I wait for that presentation? I have a few comments or questions relating to the bus that we saw. Would it be best to email you, or would it be best to wait until you make your presentation?
No, emailing is great. I take a look at, you know, the sooner I get feedback, the sooner I can act upon it. So my email is smeyer@wmata.com. And I'll also put it in the chat.
Thank you. Yes.
And Chair Calabi, I see Patrick's hand is up. So Patrick, go ahead.
Thank you, Anu and Tino. Sarah, hi. I've been working with the International Code Commission for the last 2 years, fighting with sign people from a disability side on color contrast, particularly as it's turned out now within transportation systems. So I'm wondering if in next meeting that we have, we could talk about color contrast, how that's derived, how that's measured, and that sort of thing. Maybe a little more technical presentation on something like that.
Sure, sounds good. And I think Pat, maybe you'll be teaching me a little bit here as well.
I'm so
very
confused.
Much welcome that. You know, I did start at the MTA where all of our screens were already pre-selected and pre-purchased, and
oh wow,
walking in and then seeing that our map wasn't easily legible on those screens was heartbreaking. So the good news is we are, the screen world has made significant advancements, but there are still costs and things to weigh in terms of resolution and color contrast that we still need to make sure are right in our procurements.
Right, I agree. That's a complicated subject, and I am amazed that the argument sometimes between people with disabilities and sign manufacturers is so enthusiastic, shall we say. Yeah, particularly when you come down to costs.
Yes.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, thanks.
Next.
Okay, Chair Calabria, we do not have anyone else's hands up, but did you want to see if perhaps you're going to make any comments as Lynn said earlier? Or?
I think Lynn mentioned that Naomi's here and Stanley. I don't know if they want to comment. Naomi, we began working with, maybe 4 years ago or so. If he has nothing to say, and we all met Stanley at the mock-up, if they have nothing to add, then amazing. We can.
I have one last question, Tino.
Sure.
So, Lynn, if we throw ourselves on the mercy of the board, is there any chance that they would disallow your retirement?
You're kind to even suggest that, I think. I take that as a compliment. But no, I don't think that in this instance they can do that. I will tell you that everybody has my phone number. I'm not going terribly far. I'll be living near family in Pennsylvania. And as I said, volunteering my time where I can. So I'm happy to take your calls and help in any way that I can as a volunteer.
Thank you so much for everything you've done. It's been great service.
Thank you.
We'll be continuing to do things by Zoom. So you can continue and work with us in any event. Are there any other comments from either Lynn's team and Sarah's team or from members? Hearing none, I guess we can move on to the next topic. And thank you again, Lynn and Sarah. We really appreciate your help in these recent years regarding the 8000 series, which we have been looking forward to as open gangways for some time. Thank you again.
Okay, thank you, Lynn, Sarah, and Nahum. Chair Kalabia, the next topic is for Better Bus Network, and we have
Melissa.
Yes.
Yes. Melissa, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me again. And that is a tough act to follow. Anu, would you prefer that I share my screen?
However, it's convenient to you for you. If you would like to share, you should be able to. If you'd like me to Perfect. Share, you can do that.
All right. Is everyone able to see my screen?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. All right. My name is Melissa Kim, and I identify as mixed race, Korean, and white. And I work in Metro's Office of Planning. And I'm one of the deputy project managers for the Better Bus Network redesign. Thank you so much for having us again on the agenda. And we're excited to talk a little bit about a few things today. So first, we're going to start by getting into a project background and a little bit of an update for all of you, since it's been a few months since we've been to see you. We'll then get into our approach for phase three engagement, which is upcoming. Talk a little bit through next steps, and then there will be time for a discussion, questions, and answers. So I'll take any questions then.
Okay.
All right. So the Better Bus Network redesign, I know for many of you, this is a review, but the project is intended to rethink, revitalize, redesign our bus service. And the image on the right just shows that the Better Bus Network redesign is a part of a larger Better Bus initiative that includes some other items like customer information, zero emission vehicles, facility modernization, bus priority lanes and signals, and bus stop and shelter improvements. And I'll also flag really quickly that the Better Bus Network redesign itself is moving forward, but it's also contingent on having an adopted fiscal year 2025 budget. So as many of you hopefully remember, last spring, we were out in the public sharing what we called our visionary bus network. And that was the bus network that we think the region needs and deserves. And many of you, thank you for your support coming to those events and for your comments on that visionary network. So overall, we received over 8,000 comments on the bus routes included in that visionary network. And over the past several months, we've spent time updating the visionary network in collaboration with our jurisdictional partners based on what we heard from you and others, and then going back to the data to make sure that everything was data informed. So since then, we've been developing our proposed 2025 Better Bus Network, which is going to be the focus of our spring engagement that, again, will be moving forward this spring based on or contingent on our fiscal year 2025 budget adoption. And then we'll take what we heard from you and finalize the 2025 Better Bus Network and take that network to the board and work towards implementation of the network in summer of 2025. So the proposed 2025 Better Bus Network that we'll be taking out to the public this spring, the major difference between what we shared, the visionary network last spring, is that this network is going to be limited to the resources that we have available today. So while we still want to build towards that visionary bus network that we shared earlier, that we really think the region deserves, this is what we can start operating and the improvements that we can make using our existing resources. So as I briefly mentioned before, this network includes updated service design. So we went back and we incorporated comments that we heard from you all and other members of the public in the last round of outreach. And then there are a couple of new elements that we'll also be sharing in this next round of outreach that are beyond service changes. One element of that is that we are going to be eliminating a small number of closely spaced bus stops to try to increase transit travel time, make it faster, and also increase reliability. So that's something we'll be bringing out to the public to get feedback on. We'll also be taking out a new route naming system that was developed based on customer research that we did last fall. And we'll be getting comments on that new route naming system. And then finally, since we want to start implementing in the summer of 2025, this network is also clear about who would operate the service that is included in the proposed 2025 Better Bus Network. The next time that we present to you, which should be in June, we'll be able to get into a lot more details, but the proposed 2025 Better Bus Network was designed to better connect the region by linking people with jobs and destinations and other transit modes to really increase and improve access to better bus service, especially in the evenings and on weekends, because we know that people travel outside of the peak period. So we want to make sure that bus service is supporting the needs outside of those periods as well. We designed the network to make sure it advances access to opportunity for residents in equity-focused communities. And then we also focused on preparing for the future and making bus service more convenient to use. Really quickly, because I know that a lot of the really exciting stuff is getting to dig into the network and what those changes are. So in our next presentation to you this spring, again, likely in June, we'll include the latest proposed 2025 bus network and information like how we built the network, how we incorporated your feedback and other considerations that went into building the network. We'll talk through the ways that the network better connects people to jobs and key destinations, ways it improves access to all day, all week frequent service, how much time customers will save, and all those types of fun things we'll be able to get into in a lot more detail in our next meeting with you all. And what I really wanted to focus on today was talking a little bit more about our spring engagement, which is our last phase of engagement for the project. So these goals might be familiar from the last time that we came to you prior to outreach, but really what we're focused on as part of this phase of outreach is really increasing awareness and understanding of the proposed 2025 network. We want to make sure that we're able to get the input that we need, the input that we're able to incorporate in revising the proposed 2025 bus network. And we also want to generate support and build advocacy and create champions. We wanted to make sure that in this phase, as you all know, we spend a lot of time out in pop-ups and workshops on buses, talking to people in the second phase of outreach. And we really wanted to make sure we were building on that in this phase and incorporating some of the successes and lessons learned from that outreach. We're also working in this phase to reach more communities while being more efficient with resources. So a big part of what we're doing in this phase is trying to go to events that are already existing. We're trying to partner with either local elected officials or community-based organizations. If they have an event, we want to be there and we want to be able to talk with their constituents and the people they serve. So we're really trying to focus on, in addition to our own events, trying to piggyback and partner as much as possible in this next phase. And then we also are incorporating the public hearing process into this next phase of engagement because we are working towards getting fall board adoption to enable 2025 implementation. And that's something we heard loud and clear from you all. I think it was many of you, but I do remember Steve mentioning it several times that we need to make these improvements quickly. This can't be a long drawn out process. So that's really what we're pushing towards. All right. Many of these will probably be somewhat familiar to any of you who are around for the last phase of engagement for this project, but we're going to be having several types of Metro-led events in our next phase of public engagement. We're going to, again, have a larger scale event, which we're calling Discovery Days this round, and we're going to have one in each state-level jurisdiction, and they'll be held likely mid to late June, sometime this spring, certainly. And these will have an interactive expo style and will provide the chance to learn for visitors to learn about the proposed network and to provide their feedback. As part of the public hearing process, we'll actually have both this expo style room and then we'll have a separate public hearing room where people can provide their comments. I will note that the way that our engagement is being designed, anything that we hear through any of our input mechanisms, whether that's online or in person, will be part of the public record. So you don't necessarily need to give public hearing feedback for it to be counted as part of the public record. And then we'll also be holding additional virtual public hearings. We'll again be doing pop-ups this round. We'll be targeting areas that we'll be seeing more change in the proposed 2025 bus network that have high ridership and that also have a higher concentration of people of color and people with low incomes to make sure that we're hearing from as many of our current customers that might be experiencing change through these events. And then again, we'll be hosting a number of ride-alongs that, like the pop-ups, will be focused on high change routes and areas where we may not be hearing as much from folks either online or through our other events. So we'll use those to target specific routes, and those will likely be layered towards the end of our outreach period. We'll be seeking input in a number of ways this round. So this slide on the left gets into a little bit of the interactive digital experience that will be available through this next phase of engagement. It will be using a lot of the similar tools that we used in the last round, including, and I'll get into more detail about this in a minute, but the interactive map where you're allowed to comment specifically on a specific route. We'll have a map library, including both the large static maps by jurisdiction, as well as individual route profiles for every route that's proposed. We'll also have an online survey where people can provide input on specific routes, as well as what they think about the proposed network. We're also going to continue having robust stakeholder engagement as part of this next round of feedback. So, again, we'll be coming back to you. We'll be going back to the RAC. We have several of you that are also a part of our Community Connections Committee, which we will be meeting with you all to share the recommendations, to hear your feedback, to make sure that you're really engaged and in the loop through this and getting your input. We're also holding several focus groups, specifically with high school students in the DC area. We're engaged with our unions, we're engaged with our bus operations staff. Again, we're going to be having targeted events to make sure that they are able to see and comment on all of the routes in the 2025 network as well. And then we'll continue engaging with community-based organizations and our advocates, as well as elected officials. We'll be sharing information, as I just mentioned, in a number of different ways. As you may remember, we had route profiles for every route in the Visionary Network. There is an image on the screen of one example of that from the last round of engagement, which includes a map of the proposed route, as well as bus stop or as well as major key destinations along the route, and information about the proposed operating hours, so when the bus would start and stop operating, as well as how often it would come. And we will have something very similar in this round that is actually a little bit more detailed, and we'll have one for each of the proposed 2025 Better Bus Network routes. The route map will have alternative or alt text that will explain the termini, and our team is also working to ensure that the reading order makes sense and conveys the clearest information for screen readers for our route profiles. We'll also, again, have our static network maps for each of the jurisdictions. There's an image on this slide that shows a screen grab of one of the maps from the last phase of engagement. We'll have something very similar for this phase of engagement for the proposed 2025 bus network. This map, unfortunately, is not screen readable. And then two other items that we'll have that we also had the last time that we went out were an interactive map. So you all and any member of the public will be able to compare existing routes to the proposed 2025 Better Bus Network routes and provide route-specific comments for our team to review. And this map is screen reader compatible and capable of making reading points of interest and other map labels. And then finally, we will again have an example trip planner that will be available to the public so that you all will be able to type in a common trip that you make, a common origin and destination that you travel between, and see what your travel would look like today, but then also compare it to what it would look like in this proposed 2025 bus network, how long it would take, that information. And that trip planner sidebar interface is screen readable. All right, in terms of next steps, we have a few asks for you since you've been so wonderful and engaged in this project in the past. I know many of you are already signed up for our e-newsletter, but if you aren't, we do have an e-newsletter called the Better Bus Dispatch that you can sign up for at our website, WMATA.com/betterbus, and it has the latest and greatest information. It comes out once a month, and it'll have more information about where the events are going to be as we're still kind of working through all of those details right now. When outreach kicks off in the spring, if you could tell everyone that you know about the new bus network and why they should provide their input, because we really do want to hear from as many people as possible. Unfortunately, we know we can't reach everyone, but we want to get as close as we can. So you all sharing with your networks and getting the word out means that we're getting more input that we can incorporate into the network. We'll also have collateral or media that you can share yourself through your own social media or any newsletters that you may have. And then again, I know many of you attended an event in the last phase of engagement. Maybe I can follow up with anew to make sure that you all have the latest and greatest list once those locations are actually finalized, but we would love for you to attend an event and invite others to come as well. All right, and then just to reiterate, again, our next presentation will be in June, so we'll be coming back to you then with a lot more detailed information about what's included in the proposed 2025 Better Bus Network, as well as the technical process used to develop it, if you're interested in more information about that. And in the meantime, as I mentioned, we're still going through a lot of the work to develop a lot of these materials for this round and finalize locations that we'll be hitting for our engagement. So please let us know as we're finalizing these things, if there are any specific questions you have about the network, or if there are any questions about materials that we can be thinking about. And that's it for the presentation. So would love to take any questions that you all have. And thank you again for your time and for allowing us to come to you, as always.
Great. This is Tino. Welcome again, Melissa. We really appreciate your activities these years. I think a few meetings back, or a meeting back in which you attended, you mentioned some kind of early victories, that is, things that you had been working on and that you've by then actually implemented. Were there many of those, and have any had to be changed after you implemented some of the designs we've talked about?
That's a great question. So I'll have to follow up with our bus planning colleagues to get any specifics, but they did implement some changes as some of the, as part of their last two service change processes. None of them have been changed back, but I'll need to get more details about what the specific changes were, if that would be helpful.
Okay. And last week, you may recall, I sent you an email which quoted, actually showed a report from Greater Washington. Mm-hmm. Georgius is about to issue what they call a transit vision plan. Now, early on, we learned from you that much of the planning in Prince George's County, they haven't been doing it separately. Montgomery County, where I live, they had already launched a separate a vision about new routes and such. But as I recall, you said that Prince George's was leaving it up to WMATA. Now that they're going to be releasing this transit vision plan, how are they going to be using what you've got on the works? Or I'm a little confused. What are they issuing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we've been working, Prince George's, our partners on our bus network redesign project. And you'll see in the materials that come out and the proposals that it includes both Metrobus and the bus routes for 2025. We've also been collaborating with them on their transit vision plan, which is their much longer vision plan. So we actually have a couple of folks in our service planning and service design team that are stakeholders for the Prince George's project. And we have been providing them with more recent up-to-date data to help inform, because they're looking as part of that plan at more than just bus. They're looking at connections to rail. They're looking at train service. So they're really looking holistically at the larger transportation network and not just bus, which is why it's not living in the same project as the bus network redesign. But I can assure you that we have been collaborating very closely with them. We have biweekly calls on this project where we also talk about the transit vision plan. And they have been very involved in all the updates to our 2025 network and the visionary network as well. So yes, I can totally understand why it's confusing that the messages are coming from a couple of different places, but I can assure you that there is a lot of collaboration that's happening and the plans are designed to complement each other and include a lot of the same information. Their plan just also includes other modes as well.
Do you know when their transit vision plan will be formally released? It said in the GDW report that it will be it implied it would be released shortly, but when exactly will they do that?
I need to follow up on the exact date. They're still doing actually a fair amount of outreach for that plan. So I think they still need to do that outreach. They're actually going to join us for our outreach as well. There will be a Prince George's table where they're able to talk about the transit vision plan as well as anything else Prince George's related that folks in the county that attend the expo want to talk about. I can follow up to get the date, but it sounds like they still have a decent amount of work to do to collect additional feedback and then incorporate that into their transit vision plan.
But in general, you can probably assure us that there won't be any contradictions ultimately between their plan and our plan.
Yeah, that's definitely what we're working together to ensure. Because yes, that is not what we want. As we're both kind of building towards a better bus network and then also a better transit and larger transportation network. Yes.
As a Montgomery County resident, I should know, but I don't. How far along are they in what they started independently of WMATA?
They also are getting close to releasing their plan. I will say we've also been collaborating with them a lot in the past 8 months as we've been updating our visionary network and updating our 2025 network. So holistically, I would say there's a lot of work happening behind the scenes, especially with Prince George's, but also with all of our jurisdictional partners, because we really do want, we don't want Metrobus to function alone. We want to make sure that the network, the transit network across the region, they all complement each other. So we've been collaborating with them as well. I don't know the exact date that they'll be releasing their plan, but I can find that out for you too.
Okay. Well, thank you, Melissa. Other members of the bus rail subcommittee?
Chair Kalabia, this is Anu. Pat Sheehan has raised his hand, so Pat, go ahead.
Thanks, Anu and Tino. thank you, Melissa. Excellent presentation, as always. Couple of questions. I don't know if I thought of this or I read it somewhere. Like Prince George's County, is the phrase being used equity networks or anything like that? With respect to the fact that you've got a poorer population that is not funded well and it doesn't really seem to have the resources in place to provide the same level of transportation? I thought I'd heard that term somewhere, but maybe just I made it up.
Sure.
And then
sorry, keep going.
Yeah. The other two questions were, I know that we received, I took the survey at the for the hearings, and there was a lot of information. I assume that we got a lot of information on the bus network as part of what came through in the hearings. Wondering if that's being incorporated into your outreach and being filtered into what you're looking at. I would think there'd be a lot of valuable data there. And then the last question would be, in moving forward with the network, will the building out of this be tracked through Jordan and her metrics people? I imagine that would take a little bit of time to put that those metrics in place. But as to what you're building, what is the impact on time performance and all that stuff, I just think the work that she does is very cool. But it also gives the board a measure of being able to see, you know, how we're doing according to the data. So kind of three questions then.
Yeah, absolutely. Great questions. So the first one, I don't know that I've heard Equity Network necessarily, but we have been thinking a lot through this project about what Metro defines equity-focused communities as, and this is areas with high concentrations of people of color with low income and with a disability. And as to your point, Prince George's certainly has a high concentration of people of color, and a lot of equity-focused communities do fall within Prince George's County. So as we were building our 2025 network, we did try to prioritize improved connections between equity-focused communities and key destinations as part of that. And I think what we were so excited about when Prince George's first signed on to be a part of this project is right now our services there are not as well coordinated as they could be. And so one big opportunity we have in the county by doing this project collaboratively is that we really can make the best use of the combined resources as part of that. So you'll see in the metrics that come out in terms of increased access to jobs, for example, the numbers actually do look best in Prince George's County, where we've been able to make kind of the most coordinated changes. In terms of public hearing comments on bus being incorporated into outreach, I'll have to check on that. I know that the service planners that take those comments in are the ones that are also a big part of the bus network redesign, but I will confirm because that's a great point. We're getting a lot of good input through that process that we need to make sure is a part of this process. So I will follow up to confirm that that is in fact happening. And in terms of the metrics, we actually are working closely. There are a few folks on Jordan's team that are really involved in this project and helped us define the metrics that we're using as part of the planning process that then some of them will also be able to use once implementation occurs to track progress. And I will also say that we're starting to think through what metrics we want to be focused most on once implementation happens. Of course, Jordan and her team will continue to report on changes to all of the metrics that they typically report out on. So on-time performance, as you mentioned, is a key one of those. But there may be, since this would be such a big change, some additional metrics that we'll be looking at to track progress. I will say that metric progress, at least for other network redesigns, it typically takes a longer time period for the data to kind of settle in once people get used to and familiarize with the new network. But it's absolutely something that we're thinking about as we're thinking about implementation and what we need to be considering as part of that.
Well, I certainly like your priorities. I know that the AAC Bus Rail Committee and the whole committee has been crying about areas like Prince George's County for a while that just seem to be underserved and bus routes being cut. But even the metrics piece and the people you involve and the way you're looking and getting the information and making it data driven is just fabulous. So I'm just really impressed with this and happy to see and eager to see where we can take this. All we need to do is make sure we get the funding, right? Because I know a lot of the data that you got from the hearings could have been based on the doomsday budget. And you don't want to work with that kind of data. So let's hope for the best on the funding.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you so much, Pat.
Okay, next would be Thomas Mangrum and then Steve Kaffman. Thomas, go ahead.
Yes. My thing is this, is you going to have a map of the bus routes that you're probably going to take over, the metro, probably going to let go of, and also whether or not, with the better bus, whether or not we're going to have service going further out than we had with Metro. Because I know y'all probably don't have the van service like Metro Access, but we can catch the buses to go further out to places if that be helpful. So I think it'd be helpful for you to put out a map that let us know where we could like get off the Metro bus or the subway and catch the better bus. So to help us, and not just put it online, because I know a lot of times people crazy about putting stuff online, but when it comes to dealing with people with disabilities, you're gonna have people with disabilities that can't get online, and they more visual with a map that they can have in their hand that will help them. So that'll be really helpful, especially as you have it on the commercials or whatnot about when you couldn't going to introduce the better bus to everyone once y'all figure out things with Metro and with the service that they're going to cut and with the service that y'all going to add to Metro. I think that would be a real good thing. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas. We will absolutely have large static maps that show where we're proposing to have bus service as part of this project. And we will have large printed out versions of those at all of our in-person events. So we will make sure to get all of the information about when those in-person events are to everyone on the AAC. Hopefully one of the many events will be convenient enough to you that you'd be able to come in person so we can look through the map in person. And then also at those events, if there's any specific areas that you want to ask about, there will be service planners there that can have that conversation with you and hopefully add additional insight or information that you also wouldn't be able to get online. So we're really trying to make sure that those events are worthwhile, that they're accessible, that they're inclusive, that everyone can come there and get information that helps them understand what we're proposing so that we can get feedback on what you think works well or what you might change. So absolutely agreed. Those are great points and appreciate the point that online materials can be challenging. So we need to make sure to have print versions of those available to folks. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Melissa. Next would be Steve Kaffin. Steve, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Melissa, your perseverance is impressive and amazing. And this is a great blueprint you put out, and it's exciting to move along as quickly as a lot of people wondered, especially when the budget issues came about. So this is very exciting news. I'm wondering, have you taken into account the services of the local bus service, bus operations? And me, I'm thinking specifically of the circulator buses in determining the new routes. And In line with that, whether there are certain routes that that might best be performed by circulator, and in the past, for whatever reason, over time, are not. Are you taking that into account, or just leaving these local bus services as is?
So when we first kicked off, we reached out to all of the local agencies, local transit providers to see whether or not they'd like to participate in this project as part of the redesign. And many of them, for a variety of reasons, wanted to kind of keep their network as is or do smaller plans internally. And so as a result of that, we are working with them closely to make sure that our services complement what they have or their kind of upcoming plans, but we're not recommending any changes to their services, which makes sense to respect. I mean, they have planning professionals, they have a lot of expertise there. So we're
Okay.
collaborating with them to make sure that our services complement each other, but not necessarily recommending changes for their services. But I think I briefly mentioned we have been meeting with all of our local transit providers pretty regularly as we've been updating the Visionary Network and developing the 2025 network so that we are making sure. I think unfortunately everyone is struggling a little bit with budget and funding. And so we want to make sure that collectively we are using our resources as efficiently as possible. So that's been a big part of this effort has been, and honestly, one of the reasons why we've spent so much time kind of going back and revising things was we wanted to make sure that we did it right and incorporated input from and collaborated with our local jurisdictional providers.
Just a quickie. I'm thinking in terms of maybe not changing any one of their services, but if their service was extended even a half a mile or a quarter of a mile, it would actually cover an area that's currently not well served. Good example is Woodley Park, the Woodley Park stop. If that were extended just up to the zoo, in fact, it would complement the L2 bus and might not require the same kind of adjustment that you would want to make. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And we can absolutely follow up with them and share that. I do know that they're having budget conversations as well that are a little bit complicated. But like I said, we're collaborating really closely with them. And so we can bring that up. We have kind of recurring meetings with them, bring that up as a question of whether that's the type of thing they're considering in the future. But definitely appreciate, yeah. I think we have limited power to, and rightfully so, to tell other transit providers where to operate, but we can certainly provide them input that we've received from the public relevant to their service. And that's a great example of that. So appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Chair Calabia, at this point, we do not have any other hands up by the members.
Okay, well, if there are no other questions, again, thank you, Melissa. It's been a joy working with you. You've got an immense task, and we appreciate all the work you've done, and we'll try and each of us, or at least some of us, will be going to your events, and we hope we can encourage others to come with us. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
Sounds good. Thank you so much again for your time and for your input and for many of you for being so involved in this project. It's really been invaluable for us. So thank you again, everyone.
Thank you, Melissa. And Anu, how are we doing with the agenda?
Okay, so Chair Karabia, this is Anu. We only had two topics on our agenda for today. And then we have public comments. So if you would like, you can dive into public comments if we have any. Ms. Rush just raised her hand. Ms. Rush, go ahead. Ms. Rush, if you would please unmute yourself.
My hand is raised to make a public comment. I'm sorry.
Okay, sure.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Well, let's, Chair Kolabi, I would ask any members of the public if they're connected and would like to make any public comments, they can let us inform us now, and we can take them in the order that we receive their participation.
Sure. Anyone from the public? Now's the time.
Okay, so seeing none, I guess we do not have any members of the public who would like to make comments. So Ms. Rush, go ahead.
Okay, this is Ms. Rush. I have three questions, maybe four, but I know I have a time limit. Number one, I heard on the news that there was a 14-year project for completing the restrooms, making them public restrooms accessible, and that all the stations had been completed. That is not so, and I want to know who could tell me what public restrooms are not and where the stations are that they're not available to the public, because older people or anyone, children, people on just using the service, the public needs to know where there is available to use the restrooms. And when you're making these maps, I wish you would make sure that the accessibility of public rooms is noted on the maps. That's number one. And they need to announce that they're not all accessible. But I heard it on the news, Channel 7. Also on the news, I heard that D.C., Mayor Bowser was thinking and put in her budget to discontinue the circulator. So somebody needs to look into that and answer that question. Is the circulator going to be in the budget or out of the budget? And number three, on the pylons, we need to know where the next station. Some stations have it on there, and I thought they were going to keep them on the pylons, because I know Felipa, I've heard her ask about that, and that's very informative. But putting north or south or east or west does not register to somebody who's new in town. They don't know where north, south, east, or west. And some pylons have it and some don't. What happened to keeping them on there? That is a question also. And February, we had an alert system that was not working. February the 12th. In March, they said, well, we know there's a problem with the alert system, and we hope to get it fixed by the end of the month. So is it fixed? And why was it out from February to March and nobody was notified? Thank you.
Okay. Chair Kolabi, did you want to make any comments or?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Well,
so if I may just add regarding Ms. Rush's questions, that we, as you may have heard, that Sarah Meyer would most likely be coming to the bus and rail subcommittee meeting in May. So some of your questions, Ms. Rush, about the pylons, the end of the line stations versus the directional signage information could be addressed at that point.
Well, also some indication as to where the bathroom, the toilets are. I think Denise mentioned there should be information about where the toilets are, and I would recommend that such information certainly be given in the stations themselves. I think there are 97 stations, 97, 98. And in years past, I must admit, I didn't even know there were available bathrooms, and they weren't signed as such. They were signed as fire equipment or whatever. So it's great that they've begun to fix them or install bathrooms, but we ought to know where they're installed, and they're in each station should be assigned as to how to get to them.
Tina, this is Ms. Rush again. I know you send out a lot of news articles, and I kept waiting for your news article and waiting, and I didn't see any news article about the restrooms. I didn't see any news articles about the alert, and I said, well, what's going on here? Because Tino sends out news articles all the time. And
actually, Denise, I did send out a Washingtonian magazine article on bathrooms. It was extensive, and I'll resend it out to you. But it doesn't cover some of the questions when you're in the station as to where they are. And a lot of people don't even know that there are bathrooms.
I'm not talking about the stations. I'm just talking about they should, like, if you're planning a trip, Tino, and you're looking, you're planning your trip, you just need to know, well, I shouldn't get off here because if I'm having a problem or a concern, I need to go up to the next station. When you're right. planning your trip, you need to know where you can and where you can't go. And the alerts are very important to a lot of people. I don't use them, but maybe you don't use them, but they need to know that's why they have them. And for the system to be down February and March, and then all of a sudden they say, well, we hope to fix it. I don't know if it was fixed or not, but those things are important to people when they're planning trips, don't you think?
Oh, indeed. And as an older male, it's really important for me to know that there's somewhere that I can go. But
no, these are alerts that you get on your phone. These are alerts that you sign up. They're alerts about this elevator's down. They are alerts that you can sign up for everything about Metro, and they send the alert to your phone or wherever you sign up for them to send it to. This has nothing to do with the bathrooms. This has to do with the alert system. It went down. You know, it's electronic. Things happen, but not to even notify us that it's down. But I listen to the news a lot, and it was down. And then they send out and say, we hope to get it fixed by the end of the month, but you never alerted them that it was down.
Yeah, okay.
Carol, please go ahead.
Ms. Rush, the way that WMATA communicates with people who get alerts is through their email system or through text. If our system is down, unfortunately, we can't get the emails and texts that they're supposed to be sent out. So we will look into that and give you a clearer answer in reference to the alerts, and we'll give you the status. And we hope to send you an email about that in the next couple of days, okay?
Okay.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Carol. We really appreciate that.
Yeah. In reference to the restrooms, the restrooms are still under They still have punch list items that need to be fixed, etc. And the way that you use a WMATA restroom is you have to ask the station manager to actually allow you to use the restroom, and they will guide you to where the door is to get to the restroom. It usually involves a corridor, and in the restrooms, they're not open and freely available to the public, except for the Silver Line stations. They're more closer to the customer. So I think the Silver Line 1 stations, you can actually access them from the free side of the mezzanine. On the Silver Line 2 stations, as some of you have seen, you have to go through the fare gates before you can get to the restroom, the customer restrooms, and they're available. And there are some areas that we do not have restrooms due to safety issues. I don't want to name them because I don't have the list with me, so we'll work on that. And then there are a couple of there are about 13 stations that have mini mezzanines. As you know, the mini mezzanines, you go directly from the street level to the platform, and those mini mezzanines, if you use a wheelchair, you won't be able to get to the restroom because there is no restroom on those on the platform level. So, but we will note the locations where restrooms are not available to the customer.
Wow.
Okay, Carol.
And we, I can't, I'm not doing it, we're not doing it right away, but we have this in mind, and we're going to work on that, and we're going to provide that information.
I appreciate all of that. All I'm saying, the news report on the TV said all the stations are completed, and they were excited that for the past 14 years, they worked on this and it's complete. Well, they need to report that that wasn't exactly correct because I heard it and I know what I heard.
Okay.
Thank you.
We will bring it up and try to correct that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Rocha and Carol. Next would be Philippa, followed by Pachihi.
Hi again. Just kind of as a follow-up to what Ms. Rush was saying about the station ahead signs. You can give Ms. Myers a heads up that I will be coming with a list of places. For instance, recently I had to go into Federal Triangle and there was nothing anywhere telling you once you go as a center platform, once you go down there, it tells you like this train goes to, I can't remember, Ashburn, and this one goes to something else. Well, I didn't know which train I needed in the city to get from, say, Federal Triangle to Smithsonian or something like that. And I had, everyone had to ask. And I was asking, I walked the entire platform. There was not one single sign that said, these stop here. And I was with people who were fully sighted, but they were tourists and they didn't know. And I asked people on the platform and they just happen to know because they come down there all the time. But the station master had to tell us which side of the platform to get on. And that just shouldn't be the case. L'Enfant Plaza, the downstairs, they did have the station ahead signs. There may be concern with some about the font size. It worked for me. But upstairs, there was nothing. Usually when I'm upstairs, I'm rushing downstairs to get on one of the trains on the lower level, or I'm rushing up the escalator to get the train because I happen to know which side to go up on. So I hadn't really paid attention that there were no station ahead signs, but there are none on the upper level at L'Enfant Plaza. So I'm going, and I'm encouraging everyone, as you go through the trains, through the subway stops, look at places that don't have any station ahead signs. I plan to do that. And, you know, I may have a longer list by the time I come next month. Thank you.
Amen.
Okay, thank you, Philippa. And we will, we may have already shared the information with Sarah Meyer, but we will definitely share the additional information that you provide to us.
Okay.
Pat Sheehan, go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, just back on the bathrooms again, Carol. I think we want to make a distinction, you know, about which bathrooms are wheelchair accessible. That's going to be critical. So I think something like that would be good to know. So not just bathroom. I'm sure some of them in some of the older stations, I don't know this for a fact, but my guess would be that there are some that are not wheelchair accessible. I think we need to designate which are and which aren't.
Okay. And Noah, are there any other people with hands up?
Pat Sheehan, there are no other hands up at this point.
Anu, this is Sandy. I can't do my hands up, but could I speak?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering if we could ask Sarah Meyer to do a site visit with us to look at digital signage, for instance, at L'Enfant Plaza, and as Philippa just mentioned, maybe was it Federal Triangle? Pick two, three stations that we could walk through with her and say, this works, this doesn't. To perhaps that would be more informative for Sarah as well as for us. Maybe she could educate us about what we're missing on signs. I don't know. I just thought if you could plant that bug in Sarah's ear, maybe that's a possibility. We've had other really good site visits for other topics for Metro and for bus.
Excellent suggestion, Sandy. I was only about 3 or 4 months into my tenure, and I actually escorted a board member, Catherine Porter, through 3 or 4 stations to show her what at that time, and I was relatively new, what some of the problems were. Andy Byford, who is one of the great general managers in transit around the world, and he at the time was named to be a transit manager, the GM for the New York City Transit Authority. And within a week or so of being on board, he actually was accompanied by members of the disability community as he went through some of the train stations. So there are examples, and Andy Byford is one of my heroes with respect to being a general manager of transit, and he did it right away within a couple of weeks of becoming the manager. And as I said, I also accompanied, even though relatively new, a board member, and she appreciated it, and I did. I learned a lot. First of all, I had to do some homework before I escorted her around, but then when the two of us did it, I learned more, and I also made a report on it. Great idea, though. We need the. Let me also say, first of all, that in recent trips in the metro stations, I've seen a lot of improvement in signage. At the same time, there are other things that we need to discuss, and it's easier when we can do it with her. So, Sandy, that's a tremendous recommendation. And let's see if Sarah will be able to do that at some point. Thank you, Sarah. Sandy. Next, Anu, is there anyone?
Yeah, Chair Calabi, I just want to say that we will be happy to share Sandy Newsel's suggestion to Sarah Meyer, and then we'll follow up about that.
And it'll be minutes, too, that the request will be reflected in the minutes and what just been said.
Yes, yes, of course.
Great.
So at this point, I do not see any additional hands up for public comment section.
Oh, gosh. Well, we're only at 5:39 and the eclipse is over. So I'm sorry that some of you who came on time to the meeting missed parts of the eclipse. But don't worry, there's another full eclipse in our area in 2044. So I'll see you in 2044 for that eclipse. Do I hear a motion to adjourn? Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Yeah.
A second to adjourn?
I'll second, Sheena.
Okay. And do I hear a vote to adjourn?
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And hearing no questions then, it is 5:40. We are adjourning 20 minutes early, which is a record for the bus rail subcommittee. But thank you all for being with us. And I'll see you next month for the bus rail subcommittee. The next though we deal with the bylaws again. Am I right? We complete some work on that.